Save the day. You gone out of your damn mind, kids. Nobody cares about what you say. So you scream, oh, please look at me. Living through an iPhone, TikTok dream. Rate me, date me, grade me, pay me. Begging for attention, boo-hoo. You gone out of your damn mind, kid. Nobody cares about what you do. Wanna play the victim? Wanna be the hero, looking like a miserable, confused weirdo. Think you got it figured out for everybody else when you don't even know yourself. All your selfies ain't no revolution, they're slowing down our evolution. I suppose I need to apologize, and if I don't, you hope and wish I die. Oh, cool, another rule made up by a teenage rebel who loves big tech, big farm, big gun, big laws. Gonna talk about it on their new blog. You've gone out of your damn mind, kid. Nobody cares about what you want. So you cry, not true, I'll fact check you. Getting your opinion approved by some desperate, faceless, nameless, brainless intern writer for the fake news. Hey, you're out of your damn mind. Nobody cares about what they say. Think you got a choice? Think it's something special in the corporate white noise? Tweet this, post that, gram this, talk that, swipe left, tap here to this, not that. You think that they're on your side? They only share what they decide. You're just part of the corruption that's peddling crap for mass consumption. Oh geez, you labeled me. Your tolerance is so extreme. Which one do I get to be? A fascist, bigot, or a Nazi? You're out of your damn mind, kid. I don't care about what you think. Oh my heavy times. Everybody's angry, living lies. And you broke, joke, woke, woke. Think you're gonna save the day. You've gone out of your damn mind, kids. Nobody cares about what you say. You've gone out of your damn mind, kid. Nobody cares about what you say. Cares about what you say.
Hey guys, welcome to the program. Boy, a lot of us know that our young people and young ones have certainly gone out of their damn minds. I play that just to remind you, a lot of the things that our young people do or mimic or anything else like that, they get from television, they get from social media, they get from movies. And that's why today's program is so important. Hey, would you do me a favor, please? Could I get you to finger me? I know that some of you are brand new to the program and we've just met. And I know that's a lot to ask on the very first date when you're just maybe seeing me for the first time, but could you finger me? I know you want to give the system this finger, but would you give them this finger and would you share and Rumble and like this program right now? In fact, if you're on Rumble, will you click that very, very, very simple follow? By the way, once we're done with today's program, I'm going to hop over to Locals. If you're not following me on Locals, you should. That's where we can have a little bit more private conversation of the goings-on. We can name names, etc. It's just JovanHuttonPulitzer.locals.com. Very easy. If you're on Rumble, you'll see a little red oval that says join. It's just like any other social media, folks. Except the difference is you absolutely won't get banned. I absolutely won't get banned. We won't get suppressed and anything else. And sometimes the suppression out there that's going on through all this stuff, it's really kind of nuts. It really is. It's the oddest thing. Some of the things we get banned on. Anyway, click that join. If you want to become a supporter, that's different. I mean, that once you want all the extra special stuff I do, whatever, that's completely different. But you can just follow me there if you want to, too. And I put out a ton of information. It's the best place for me to pass over documents and stuff to you. You know, when I got to give you court information, et cetera, right? Et cetera. So maybe you should consider, right? Maybe you should consider joining me there, because it's just a good place for us together, but it's the place where I name names. And you know, some of the name namings going on, you know, General Flynn's coming out. Hopefully you saw the interviews, you know, he's coming out with this documentary, by the way, down in the comments underneath, when you look underneath the video, you'll find a link to get, your tickets to General Flynn's new movie. Here, let me show you.
Is there any regrets that you have in life? I should sit here and say, yeah, I got a lot of regrets. But when I look back on my life and I understand the lives that were lost, I mean, I'm sitting here with you. And I can tell my story.
He was one of the most respected generals in the world.
He was, by definition, the most dangerous possible.
Military career serving. Why was he being so
true and faithful?
It's coming soon. I think it's going to be very exciting. You saw from my interview with General Flynn. So listen, just down below, wherever you're watching me, just down below is a link. Right, just click that link, and you can get your tickets, whatever the case you may want to be. I decided to do this program to kind of give you a little behind the scenes of Hollywood, also Holly Weird. I mean, most of you know I was out there for over a decade, and tons of, you know, I've got thousands and thousands of hours of production and production experience and production sets, Baywatch, all this kind of stuff. And so I know Hollywood fairly well from the inside out. But just like in major cities everywhere, sometimes you have a lot of people hiding out. It's kind of like in old times during the church trying to eradicate Jews, you became crypto Jews, meaning you hid the fact that you were a Jewish so the church wouldn't kill you. In Los Angeles, it has the same thing. It has crypto conservatives, and you can't just show it. You can't show it, or you're just not going to work. You know it, and I know it. But something's changing in Hollywood. And actors and actresses, or I should just say actors, are getting fed up with it. Are totally getting fed up with it. And they're making a stand saying, my talent should be what it is, with no regard to whether I'm conservative, and because Hollywood tries to make people in their image. But it's all about beautiful bodies, too. You'll see a little bit of that today. Yeah, Hollywood's the beautiful body business. It's great for people watching. I love people watching. Hollywood is one of those great places to do it. Speaking of beautiful bodies, I'm working on my beautiful body. You may not know it, but I'm working on my beautiful body. Trying to get back to it, right? And what I do is I use Phil DeGreens. Phil DeGreens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. Literally one scoop a day. That's it. One simple scoop a day. I'll show you this. It's just a super fine powder. See that powder? And I'm talking, it's super fine. Right? And it's just fruits and vegetables. That's it. That's it. No additives, no junk, no nothing. Just pure fruits and vegetables. Literally one scoop. It tastes great. I like all the flavors. Berry flavor seems to be the best. Ask people in chat. It's really improved my life. It's certainly improved my nutrition, because it's the way nature intended for us to get our nutrition, by eating it, by having foods that still had nutrition in them. It's kind of like, I equate it to, it's kind of like the difference between a store-bought tomato and a tomato you grew in your backyard. It's kind of a world of difference, right? Well, this is the way we're supposed to get our nutrition. I have more energy throughout the day. I sleep better, definitely. I sleep so much more sounder, right? Healthier skin, healthier hair. My stomach feels better, mainly because I'm not inhaling my food. I drink this. It's great. It's not a meal replacement. It's just a way to get your fruits and vegetables. So Field & Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support your heart and other vital organ health. And so I trust Field & Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product, but if for any reason you don't like it, hey, they'll give you 100% money-back guarantee. If you have a sweet tooth, if you have a soda habit, this will kind of replace it, right? This will kind of replace it. It's a treat. I don't know how to say it. It's fruits and veggies, but it's a treat. It's really got a nice, satisfying sweetness, but not sweet. You know, and it's just very satisfying. So I promise you that you're going to love this product. I trust this product to keep me healthy. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you a 100% money-back guarantee. So I've got you 15% off your first order, free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Jovan. That's promo code Jovan at fieldofgreens.com, fieldofgreens.com. Yeah, and I know that the system's against all of us right now. Your cost of living are going through the roof, right? I know somebody who was getting some insurance quoted. True story. And in 1 year's time, no insurance claims or anything. 1 year's time, a property that would have probably had about $2,200 a year in really good insurance, that policy went up to $9,800. Can you believe that? From a $2,200 a year policy to $9,800, and nothing really changed except the system. And that's why I do setmefreeplease.com, folks. America is under attack. And you've got to make sure you can set your family free. That's why I do setmefreeplease.com, setmefreeplease.com. Just go fill out the information. We'll give you a call. We'll walk you through it. We've got 2.2 million patriots just like you doing it. It's a way to support each other, and it's a way to kick these big retailers and stuff to the curb that you buy your consumable products from every day. Oh, by the way, if you're thinking about trying to put your kid through homeschool and you don't have the extra funds for it or anything like that, just a mom, you know, that sometimes that can take another $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 a year. We'll give you a way to do that too, just helping other patriots set themselves free. So go to setmefreeplease.com. Think about doing it. Very, very simple. And you know that as we talk about Hollywood today, they're part of the machine that forces us to do things. And true story, I took some time a few days ago and I actually watched a movie, and it was a movie about an earthquake in Sweden and their mining. It was actually a fairly interesting movie. But in the movie, for absolutely no reason, they had to make the young girl gay. Not that it's any big deal to be gay, but they kept on inserting it and kept on inserting it and kept on inserting it, and was completely out of place. It was really weird. Well, it was part of that diversity, equity, inclusion gig going on, and I watched the credits at the end, and that was part of it. They, you know, they kind of rewrote a character for that. That's kind of what's killing Disney and Hollywood. They're just trying to insert it in where it doesn't apply, and it's because they want to force us.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors.
Yeah, they're forcing behaviors. these investors are buying up massive houses because, just like I said about insurance, they're pushing people out of their homes. It is all a racket. But here's what you need to know, especially if you have a retirement account, a 401k, an IRA. You need to know this because those guys force this using your money. By the way, I'm going to do a special program today. I'll give it to you over in Locals. I'm going to talk about, now that Truth Social has gone public and stuff, how they're going to, investors are going to try to strangle it down. I'm going to explain that process to you because they're going to continue trying to damage Donald J. Trump. And that's why you have to pay attention to these markets. So, you know, right now, I do not know what the future holds for our money. I don't. And so that's why I bought a little bit of precious metals like gold and silver, just 1% of my overall savings, but enough to give me peace of mind. And that's why I decided to partner with Gold Co. Because now I can give you something that I think you'll love. Just go to JovanLovesGold.com, get your free gold and silver kit. Now, what it's going to do, it's just going to show you how to get into precious metals tax-free and penalty-free. You know that those guys control your money. You can't even invest it. That's how they do this racket. I want to give you something where you have some control. So what it does, if you'll go to JovanLovesGold.com and you'll just get this free kit, it'll show you how to get into precious metals tax-free, penalty-free, even if your money's still in a retirement account like an IRA or 401k, and you may already qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. So you've seen the writing on the wall. Please go to JovanLovesGold.com. Doesn't cost you a thing, but you got to feed your brain to know how to beat the system. So get your free gold and silver kit, because this is about taking back control of our privacy and our freedom. I cannot predict the future, but I can certainly prepare for it, and you should too. And at the very least, you should be educated about your choices. So take action, defend your freedom, your privacy, and your future. Go to JovanLovesGold.com and get your free 2024 gold and silver kit. Now, bit of warning about today's program. We're going to have a very, very, very candid discussion about Hollywood and Hollyweird. Two different things. But somebody I truly love to death. Funny. Street tough. Right? Street tough. Just a beautiful woman, hell of a body, right? Perfect for Hollywood. And and she owns it. Going to tell you the Hollywood story, right? But I think it's important to understand. So do me a favor, finger this right now. Share this program. Have you thumbs up? Have you shared it? Are you following on Rumble? You're going to love this. So give you kind of a peek inside the system, especially when you're in the middle of Hollyweird, you come from a conservative background, you got to play the game, and then you realize, oh my God. So folks, share this program. Let's get started.
Cut the crap. How many times a day do you want to say that to politicians, the elite, the loony liberals, the fake news media, and the gender-confused emotional socialist snowflake crowd? Cut the crap is your secret weapon for fighting for our freedoms and our great republic. It all begins with a massive mental enema, freeing you from the toxic news and politically correct views, which constipate your consciousness with stinking thinking. Your host, Joe Von Hutton Pulitzer, he's known for calling out politicians and telling them to cut the crap. You've seen him on virtually every television network and listened to him on Coast to Coast Radio. And now he's here to help you learn to fight for America. Culture, race, and American politics, they all have one thing in common. They all need to cut the crap. Now, here's your host, Joe Von Hutton Pulitzer.
Hey, folks, welcome to the program. Okay, guys, look, who's strange enough to call their program Cut the Crap? Yeah, I am. because we live crap every day. We're going to talk about crap in La La Land. I know this is really weird, but I think not only this weird society we live in, but I think La La Land's waking up. You know, folks, I always tell you that I truly believe California's red, not blue. But we're going to jump right to, well, the belly of the beast. Well, it's not real. Well, it's not the heart of the beast or the belly of the beast. It's probably a little bit lower. You know what I'm talking about. LA is one of these strange, strange things. Now, do me a favor real quick. You're going to want to share this program. Use that finger. I know you want to give the system this finger. Give them this finger. Share that program and get it out here, because with my guest, we're going to talk about, you know, you hear things about great awakening or waking up or whatever the case may be. I think there's more crypto conservatives in LA and in California than most people realize. Look, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to get over to Twitter. You're going to want to follow Tammy. Get over to Twitter. You're going to want to do it. And I'm telling you why you're going to want to do this is because I know you love people that call it like it is. And it's rare for somebody that's La La Land centric to call it like it is. There she is with her two children. Yes, she's officially the first woman successfully that made it with Bigfoot. No, that's her two babies. She lost one during COVID. Maybe we'll talk about him, but that's her two babies. When you see her, you're going to go, ah, I know who you are. And because you've seen this beautiful face, which, look, if you understand this background, I think you're going to find somebody you can relate to that certainly I can relate to. Let me give you kind of a quick background history so you know where Tammy comes from. She's actually from a trailer park in Mishawaka, Indiana. That's a real place, Mishawaka, Indiana. And now she lives in Beverly Hills. It's actually a little adjacent is what they call it, Beverly Hills adjacent. Now she has this incredible, colorful resume. Here's some of the highlights. Strip clubs, sugar daddies, a failed career in hairdressing, which is very funny. It landed her into a very stable marriage, which is very interesting, right? And that's kind of become the foundation of her comedy. Besides, you know, you'll see a clip here in a minute of her comedy. Here, her chaotic childhood, which, you know, I can relate to. I just, you know about me. I say you take 32 members of my family, put them in one room. What do you get? A full set of teeth. So she knows my family. I don't think we're cousins, but then again, I am from Arkansas, so it'd be totally fine if we got married. But anyway, her chaotic childhood literally prepared her for a career in Hollywood. Think me too, folks. See, in addition to the 12 years where she played Dr. Karen Bader on Days of Our Lives, yeah, you've seen her on Two and a Half Men, Drop Dead Diva, Las Vegas, NYPD Blue, and General Hospital. She's done film roles, you'll remember. Mike Nichols, What Planet Are You From? I'm going to show you a clip in a minute. Beautiful Girl with Brendan Sexton III and Fuel. She's even won film awards. See, for 20 years, she's been playing roles, and I love this, that's ranged from doctors to dominatrix. I see, I told you, her white trash family roots, right? Actually come to play when she has to kind of live this out. We're going to talk about, because guys, you know, truth, I was a teenage parent, right? And so I know what that's like. I would have been the guy in Tammy's background, right? If I'd have known her like in her early 20s, I would have said, baby, you know, with a body like that, you should, you know what I'm talking about. You're going to recognize her right away, right? Because besides just the striking beauty she just has that presence that just stands out and grabs you. But I think that fine tuning, What really is at the root of it is their little bitty town roots. Mishawaka? Mishawaka, Indiana. You guys, you know my sister's in Indiana. She's further south. This is about as far north as you can go. This is a map of Mishawaka. Look at all the exciting landmarks they have. Bob's house, Jim's house, Tommy's playground, you know what I mean? It goes back to the 1800s, mid-1800s. I want to show you a little bit about this, because what we're going to do is we're going to have a very candid discussion about Hollywood, about values, about La La Land, the land of where nothing's real. I mean, everybody's got ambition, right? And if you can make it in Los Angeles, folks, if the beast doesn't eat you and doesn't destroy you and wear you out, you can actually become a better, smarter, wiser person for it, because you actually, well, not only are you looking at the prettiest, but you're looking at some of the worst. And if you can survive it, not have it eat your lunch, you can truly get out the other end a better person. Let me show you some of her incredible work.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Action.
You should have seen the jowls I had before. I was so thrilled with what Dr. DeWitt did up here. So much so that I went back to him for my Brazilian butt lift.
And that didn't go as well.
You ever see a pillowcase full of doorknobs?
Well, Lucy, you look just like your father. And that's worse. So go yourself. And you. How dare you be so forward?
Mother!
These people are no good for you.
Let's go, Mother.
Jesus, Tommy.
Are you enjoying your accommodations?
Blow me.
I was actually thinking of something a little less ambiguous.
You always did have a knack for surprises.
Well, you always had a knack for falling for it.
Fuck you.
As general counsel of the casino, I can assure you, my client had no obligation to confirm Mr. Randall's authority to sign on your client's account. But now that we know he's defrauded us, his winnings are void. You just said he had no authority to sign that check. So under joint and several liability, your client must return all his winnings to the casino.
Up till a month ago, I ran a place called the Iron Heel. Molly was my top girl. She got big-headed about it and took off with all of her clients and most of mine. It shut me down.
I'd say it's a good place to start a grudge.
I have other ways of working out my aggressions.
I don't know a thing about horses, obviously.
It's never too late to learn. Cooper.
Isabel, what do you think of this one?
Who bet? That's him up there, number six.
So, what do you think? Cool bet?
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you.
I went to the store this morning, and on the way, the car started making a funny noise, so I pulled over. But then I couldn't hear it, so I got in and started driving again. And then it was fine. One day, while I was straightening up, I came across a book. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know whose it was. What's this? I found it in the safe. It's got numbers of women in it.
It must be old.
I want to find out who these women are.
Excuse me. I hope you can help me. You see, I bought this and it doesn't work, so I want to sue the store. Let me show you. Gee, it's working.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm looking for Lori.
I don't know anyone named Lori.
Lori's not a real name.
Lori's not a real name?
Actually, Lori is a real name. The name you know her by is not a real name. I saw her with you the other night.
Oh, yeah, I remember you.
Ah, more good news for Toby.
What?
Nothing. Could you tell me where she is?
She's in the back.
Suckles.
I can't be any quieter.
I'm sure we can work something.
You know, I like that. There's nothing. Tammy, I'm looking at I'm just laughing as we're going through this. It's amazing how many different looks, styles, and everything is. I can only imagine as a kid growing up with teenage parents, you kind of had to have your mind occupying you a lot of time because your parents were kids themselves and probably not around. Is that true?
Yeah, they were children. Yeah, yeah. I had to be the adult.
I can imagine that.
I had to be the grown up. So I was, yeah, there was never a moment's rest.
I love that. I love your background because it's really such an interesting thing. But here's what I really find interesting, which I actually think is brave. You are in the middle. You're in the belly of the beast of La La Land, which everybody basically associates with being just totally wickedly liberal.
I know.
But you don't kind of stand for not necessarily is. And folks, I will tell you, it's kind of my thing too. Look, I don't care who you sleep with or who you pray to or anything like that. In fact, I think that's your own personal business. But the bottom line is you can be a patriot and love your country and support your country. And Tammy, I watch you when you post on Twitter and I'm surprised you're so bold, especially like calling out people like Adam Schiff, right? And Gruesom Newsom and everybody else. Tell us about what you're dealing with out there in Los Angeles as a Californian.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I mean, Adam Schiff, I don't understand how the guy, what, like, how are you showing your face on television? How are you putting yourself out there when you perpetuated the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax regarding Trump and really, really divided our country even That's further? Right. And now you're running for another position? And people, is there someone voting for that man? I never paid attention to politics ever because I had such drama in my home and such chaos growing up that I was just merely trying to survive. So I never, and intuitively I felt like, you know, it's like the Addams Family. It's like the mafia. Don't go in, Tammy. You'll never come out. That's kind of how I always thought about politics. And it wasn't until Trump was in office and COVID and what they did to our country, their reaction to it, that I had the time and the mental awareness to start paying attention. And I started to educate myself. And really, that was all I needed. All you really need to do is pay attention.
Once your eyes get open, it's mm-hmm. kind of hard to shut them. Let's go back to Mishawaka, Indiana. First off, how long was your family from that area? Had they always been from that area?
Yeah, my grandfather migrated. Well, he came over on a boat from Portugal and set up shop, I believe, in Indiana. You know, I think he even used to drive for Capone. I think
really?
He used to drive stuff for Capone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My That's grandfather awesome. was a hellion. You know, he would tell us stories about getting, you know, the cop shooting at his tires to try to get, you know, like he was a rambunctious dude. But yeah, he came over and I still have family in Indiana.
And Mama was 16 when
16.
She is cooking you in the oven. Dad
was
dad 17 or was dad a year behind her?
Dad, it was 17.
And here
you
go.
Babies
having, well, yes, you know, I was same thing. I was babies having babies, but it changes you now in my life. I couldn't ignore it. I didn't have any mama or daddy's house to go. I had to kind of grow up real quick and do it. I can remember having my precious daughter, my firstborn, and I'm making a whopping $242 every two damn weeks. I'm talking, you talk about having to make it happen. You've been there too, working all these jobs. Tell us what it was truly like growing up in Mishawaka.
I mean, my parents were so young, they were babies. And when I look back at it now, I'm like, oh, well, no wonder we were in a trailer park. That was probably all that they could afford.
Right.
And you know, the trailer park is full of all kinds of characters.
Very true.
You know, thankfully my father was, a worker, you know, he was somebody who got up every day and went to work. He was a mechanic. You know, he's a very smart guy, could have gone to Notre Dame. In fact, I have a lot of family that did. And my one cousin works for Notre Dame and, you know, I think he regrets, you know, not doing that, but he had children. And I mean, I have a sister who's a year and a half younger than I am. So by 18, they had two children. My mother, by the age of 18, had two children. And, you know, I started working when I was 11. I started making cotton candy, for the ice cream trucks and, anything I could do really to make a buck.
Right.
I mean, and I always looked more mature and older than I really was. I wonder why that is. That, I was managing a Dairy Queen, I think, at 13. They thought I was older, you know. But I was basically doing whatever I could to make some money because I needed to buy my clothes for school, pay for my book fees, the weather in Indiana is insane. I mean,
right.
When I think about going out to the bus stop to go to school in the morning and it's pitch black and it's like a blizzard, nobody drove me to school, we couldn't complain.
Right.
You just got up and you went and you did it. And I remember in my, saying the Pledge of Allegiance at school.
Very much. And all that's now kind of, could you look, trailer park or nothing, I bet your dad would have hauled his butt down to the school who, if you would have had an elementary teacher talking about their sex life or popping out a book and trying to teach
and
have anal sex, they would have gone down beating some teacher butt.
My grandfather would have been there in a heartbeat. Oh,
absolutely. Can you even fathom that? I mean,
that's one
of the most sick signs to me of just how far we've fallen. There's a different look. You're in La La Land. There's a difference of play acting for entertainment, right? Or shock value as a comedian.
Yeah.
But to have it in our elementary schools and in our face, I can't fathom that.
I couldn't fathom any sex talk, any sexual. That wasn't in our vernacular. Like I didn't know anything about my teacher. I didn't know if she was political. I didn't know if she was married or not, other than if she had a missus.
Right.
And I don't need to know that. No. And if your 3-year-old wants to tattoo their face, you don't allow that. Or wants to drive your car, you don't allow that. You're a child. It's in the Bible. It says, if you do not discipline your children, basically they're going to have a life of hell.
Right.
And look at where we are.
Well, somewhere in your past, trailer park or otherwise.
That's right.
Something anchored you. There was a seed of a patriot in there somewhere that basically knew great country, great God, America's it. Thank God we're Americans.
Oh, my God. Thank
you. You're like me. We could have been foreigners. Very easy. I'm first generation.
Yeah.
We could have been foreigners. But we're here in the greatest country in the land where you can go make your dreams. Look, you're out there and did it, making your dreams in a land where you dream big and you bust butt and you go and make it happen. Was there some sort of something in your family where somebody put a little bit of that patriotic spirit, or was it just the fact that you're a small town girl?
I will say I had such a determination and such a drive. I don't actually necessarily I knew it could be better, and I was gonna be better. As much love as there was in my family, there was as much dysfunction.
Right.
So as much dysfunction, and still to this day within my immediate family, there is as much dysfunction, but there was a drive to not be that, to be better, to do better, to somehow. And it wasn't a judgment. I'm not passing judgment, because we all do what we can with what we know, with where we're at. But I had a desire and a drive I just had this desire and determination and drive to make something of myself.
Can you remember, when I say this, you'll get it. I can remember being young. I'll tell you something very funny. I can literally remember being a child sitting in my backyard, doing the math when I was 8 years old, looking through a telescope that I made out of a destroyed lawn chair, piece of aluminum pipe, looking up at the moon, thinking of the year 2020 and that I would be this age.
Where we would be.
I can remember that moment. I also remember the moment walking away from school across an empty field in a November day. And I basically said, this shit is not for me. I am something different and better, and I'm going to make it happen. Did you have that moment?
Gosh, I feel like that was my whole upbringing, you know, like that, that was the ticker tape, you know, like that, that it was, that was always present. Yes.
You know, when you're,
I put on plays in the backyard of the trailer and charged a nickel. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I was always trying to create some joy, lift spirits, you know, keep peacemaker,
right.
Lift the spirits, you know, somehow poke a hole in the tension, make right. create laughter so everybody could breathe. You know, like that was always something that I was like,
was mom and dad going at each other? Was that what part of what
it was? Dad, very stable, very quiet, very mom. It was the, you know, unknown. Mom was the chaos. Mom was the, you know, forever change and just, you know, mentally struggled a lot.
Right.
You know, she had her own trauma.
Right.
You know, but that I recognize, of course, now as an adult, but didn't understand it at all when I was a kid. I didn't.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You go back and look, and then you can kind of see their addictions. It's only after the fact you can kind of see the trauma they went through. But when you grow up in trauma, you think trauma and chaos is okay. That's probably where a lot of your
that becomes your norm.
Yeah,
I mean, my mother was so terrified at the idea of that I would be her. That she drove me. She was so terrified that I would be young, barefoot, and pregnant like she was. And so she was determined to not have that happen. And it's very interesting because she didn't need to do that with me. She needed to do that with my sister.
Oh, wow.
I loved school. I was an honor roll student. I enjoyed being part of the community. I enjoyed drama. I enjoyed pom-poms. I enjoyed my classes. My sister had a whole different story, but so she didn't need to ride me the way she did, but she did. And I reminded her of her.
She was, well, you know, we as parents, we do try to correct out of our children what our screw-ups were, and we either do it right or we do it wrong. It's kind of the way it is. So let's make a leap here. Obviously, when you were a little girl, you had the problem of you looked like a mature girl.
Yes, I did.
Which brought you a lot of attention
that
at first you don't understand, but then it's certainly unwanted and stuff.
Right.
But then your life changed and you kind of realized, wait a minute, I might be able to use this here. Tell us this story of your evolution, well, from trailer trash little girl to just going out there and making your way in the world.
Well, when I decided to break away from my family, I went down to Florida and was living in Florida.
Was that you? I think that was you selling hot dogs on the beach in the thong. Was that you?
Yeah. And I actually started, I went to cosmetology school and I thought I was going to do hair and
right.
You know, and I did, and I did all that, and I actually was really, really gifted at it and did enjoy it, but I wanted to make more money. I needed more money to live.
You didn't become a beauty school dropout, did you?
No, I did not. But I needed to pay. I had expenses. I wasn't making enough money. And I had a boyfriend, oddly enough, who was a stockbroker, and they were making money hand over fist selling stocks. And, you know, a salesperson is a salesperson is a salesperson.
That's right.
So I thought,
acting as a salesperson. And the better sales you can sell the facade of what character you're playing, the better it's all sales.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, so I thought, my God, maybe I'll take my Series 7 and I'll study. And sell stocks and I'll make money that way. And I didn't realize just how hard that would be. I took my Series 7 and I failed it. So I was going to take it again. I took my Blue Sky and I passed it, but I needed to take the Series 7 again. And at this time I was actually doing retail, and I don't know if any retail sucks because you get the worst hours and you make no money and you work a lot of hours. So
but at least you were during blue law time. I can remember because I did retail too. We at least had Sundays off then.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have any more.
Right. And I couldn't study the way I needed to study and work retail. So I quit my job and then I really started to freak out. And an ex-boyfriend of mine had said, you know, with your body, you know, you could really rake it in as a stripper. And I was horrified at thought. At first I was insulted, but then the entrepreneur in me was like, oh, maybe I could. And the actor in me, the performer in me was like, oh, I could play that part. Now, if I'm honest, I was terrified.
Right.
I didn't know anything about it. Nothing about that world. I'd never seen a porn. And I know that's going to sound crazy, but I'm still to this day, I'm not a porn girl. That's how you know I'm a real actress. I'd rather make a porn than watch one.
Because right.
I don't know what it is. I'm like, I don't want to watch that. That's not sexy to me. That actually just makes me. So I took myself in my red Firebird with my little trembling leg, and I went over there and acted like I knew what I was doing. I was 21. I didn't know anything. And I auditioned and I got the job. And my first night, I'll never forget.
Oh, wait a minute. You went directly tonight. You didn't have to do the lunch circuit daytime.
I didn't have to do any of that. I know, right? So obviously I must have had something.
That's right.
But I was also a joke teller. I was always kind of making, like, I was always joking. To me, the stripping was like, this just happens to be where I am. Now, I will say, the difference between what I was doing then and what occurs today is two different worlds.
Right.
I mean, what I was doing then, it almost seems silly. It's like being at a party, except every girl happens to be naked.
Right.
You know? And so, and there were so many rules and regulations back then. And, you know, you had the guys with the little earpieces, although, you know, it almost was like Secret Service at the strip club, keeping an eye on everything. And all you had to do was say anything and they would toss them out, you know? So you felt safe, you know, and I'll never forget. I mean, I took home like $3,000. I did nothing for that except be playful and dress sexy. And that was pretty much the extent of it. Now, the other girls thought, oh my God, who's that woman? What must she be doing in the VIP room? How come she's making so much money? But it was really, I mean, I was, thank God, maybe I was rather naive. And I was really there to just make a buck.
Right.
And my whole thing was, Tammy, you use this. Don't let use you. And I'll never forget standing up in that VIP room and looking down and seeing, like, you know, a waitress at that time who was probably, you know, well into her late 40s, maybe 50s. And I just thought, okay, I can't be that. God bless, but I can't be that. So I was like, okay, but it was very scary because you're making so much money and you have no real, restrictions. You're not like your schedule's flex, everything's flexible and you're making money. So it's like, oh my God, how do you leave that?
So very true. Folks, let me show you something, folks. I'm going to show you this again in case you just tune in. Let me show you Tammy as most of you get it. We're exposed.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Action.
You should have seen the jowls I had before. I was so thrilled with what Dr. DeWitt did up here. So much so that I went back to him for my Brazilian butt lift.
And that didn't go as well.
You ever see a pillowcase full of doorknobs? Well, Lucy, you look just like your father. And that's worse. So go f*** yourself. And you. How dare you be so forward?
Mother!
These people are no good for you.
Let's go, Mother.
Jesus, Tommy.
Are you enjoying your accommodations?
Blow me.
I was actually thinking of something a little less ambiguous.
You always did have a knack for surprises.
Well, you always had a knack for falling for him.
Fuck you.
As general counsel of the casino, I can assure you, my client had no obligation to confirm Mr. Randall's authority to sign on your client's account. But now that we know he's defrauded us, his winnings are void.
You just said he had no authority to sign that check.
So under joint and several liability, your client must return all his winnings to the casino.
Up till a month ago, I ran a place called the Iron Heel. Molly was my top girl. She got big-headed about it and took off with all of her clients and most of mine. It shut me down.
I'd say it's a good place to start a grudge.
I have other ways of working out my aggressions.
I don't know a thing about horses, obviously.
It's never too late to learn. Cooper.
Isabel, what do you think of this one?
Who bet? That's him up there, number six.
So, what do you think? Cool bet?
Sounds good.
Thank you.
I went to the store this morning, and on the way, the car started making a funny noise, so I pulled over. But then I couldn't hear it, so I got in and started driving again. And then it was fine.
One day, while I was straightening up, I came across a book. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know whose it was. What's this? I found it in the safe. It's got numbers of women in it.
It must be old.
I want to find out who these women are. Excuse me. I hope you can help me. You see, I bought this and it doesn't work, so I want to sue the store. Let me show you. Gee, it's working.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm looking for Lori.
I don't know anyone named Lori.
Lori's not a real name.
Lori's not a real name?
Actually, Lori is a real name. The name you know her by is not a real name. I saw her with you the other night.
Oh, yeah, I remember you.
Ah, more good news for Toby.
What?
Nothing. Could you tell me where she is?
She's in the back.
So close.
I can't be any quieter.
I'm sure we can work something out.
I love that because I just love all the different looks and faces. But here's just a very simple question.
Yes.
Did any of your conservative nature, were you able to wear it on the outside before realizing what was going on or looking, taking a deep look in 2020, or did you have to hide it?
Oh, no, you had to. I mean, you had to hide it. I was literally told by a friend who's very Democratic. In fact, her father was, I think, involved in the Jimmy Carter era. He worked right with Carter. And she literally pulled me aside and said, Tammy, you cannot talk like that. You cannot say those things. I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean? I didn't even understand. She was like, you cannot say that. You will never work. What? I didn't even know what she was talking about. I didn't fully get it. I still am like, what are you saying? This party of inclusivity, this everyone's included, but I'm not included because I think like this? That's hypocrisy.
It is. It's kind of nuts. And many times in my
career, it's very nuts.
You could have, right? Yeah, you could have people on the left, you could have different views, and everybody got along. But something changed in the Obama era.
Yes,
we had to become enemies.
You know what?
If we thought different. Did you notice the same thing?
Look, I'm going to say something that is not going to be popular, but I will never forget. And this was before I was political, I would say, because I always knew who I was, but I never really had to talk about all that. I never.
Right.
But I remember being in my acting class with a full class of students, and there was one other conservative, just one in our class, Charlie. And I remember Obama winning, and I was sick to my stomach. And I've never had a strong opinion one way or the other, really. Right. But my body does not lie. Your body doesn't lie. This thing will lie to you all damn day.
Right.
This thing is trying to tell you something. And I just felt like something really bad was, something changed. Something, I was scared. I was scared. I didn't know why. I didn't know. I just knew how I felt in that moment. And I was scared. And I've never had that feeling. And I paid attention to it. I also remember him saying that he was going to fundamentally change America.
And he did.
And
I don't know what this says about me, and call me, you know, an ignorant ass for all I care, but that man is the best at talking, and he is quite the salesman, and he was so slick and so smooth, and I get why people were worshiping him, I suppose, although I don't believe in worshiping anybody but Christ, but I never understood what did he say? What did he say for 2 hours?
It was all packaging.
What did he say? I felt the con. I felt the con. The country wasn't doing better. Mm. We weren't doing better. Those 8 years were I just kept waiting for it to get better. It never came.
And so now we all went through this pandemic together.
Everybody couldn't say that because he was black.
That's true.
Like, I give a shit. I don't care what color you are. I don't care about that stuff.
It's so archaic for the left to say, well, you can't have voter ID because that's racist. Them saying that you can't have voter ID because you're black or you're brown or whatever is in fact racist. It's all upside down.
When they ask for my ID when I buy Sudafed, is that racist?
There you go.
I mean, come on. It's insane.
What's been the fallout for you? Because you're now, look, I think it's kind of funny. If you would have come out in Hollywood and said, hey, you've been watching me shake my fine-tuned body for years, but I have a dong, you would have been celebrated.
You know what? And you're right. I would have been celebrated.
But now you come out and they know you were a conservative. What's been the fallout? Have you lost friends over it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything changed because of COVID. And, you know, it got really personal because they wanted you to take a shot.
Right.
Which I never
did. By the way, have you noticed how many executives in Hollywood are dropping like flies? How many of these television and music executives are dying? And I think Yahoo, if you look at their news lines, they're trying to desensitize it to it. But look how many people are dying in their 40s and 50s suddenly. They're killing off a crop of people.
You know, if you were paying attention, you're just like, this doesn't make any sense. And I know because of my upbringing, there's nothing free.
Right.
Somebody is going to pay for that. And I had a sugar daddy, and that was the hardest money that I ever didn't work for. So I know that although it appears one way, there's something going on behind the scenes. And I just, it was my gut. And if push came to shove, I was prepared to do it because I'm a team player. But
really?
You'd
made that decision in your mind that you would take the shot if that meant that was the only way you could work?
Yeah.
Wow.
I did, but I kept holding out. I just kept holding out. Come on. Oh, somebody I think might be at my door. I kept holding out. And I just thankfully never had to do it. Now, my husband had to do it because of work.
Does that scare the hell out of you?
Very much so. Because if these fuckers kill my husband, they're going to read about me in the paper.
I mean, come on. He's got his good German genetics. So that'll carry him through it.
That's true. And I'll tell you, thank God. You know, he did the Moderna and he had to do it. Hi, ladies. And he had to do it twice. And you know, and thank God we have had no problems.
None at all. It's got to be terrifying. Look, my son did it. My son was out there with Relativity Studios, had to do it. I cannot believe he did it, but he did it, right?
Well, because none of us really knew what the hell to think. But I mean, and I'm not against medication or against the vaccine, but the way that they were behaving about it, it's like a drug dealer. I was like, what is this really about? What's really going on here?
Do you think there'll be some backlash? Because I remember Tom Cruise was making it mandatory. He was really having a hissy fit about everybody getting shots.
So many people literally said, oh, if you don't get a vaccine shot, then I'm never going to talk to you again. Or, you know, you should be jailed.
Right.
You should be removed from society.
True. What percent do you think of actors, actresses, p- people in the entertainment industry are conservatives and have to hide it? Because look, you're behind the scenes. You can talk to people. What percent would you say?
A lot. I honestly feel, nobody talks about this, but there were Trump rallies in Beverly Hills for 2020.
Right.
There were Trump rallies all over California, and they just never got any airtime. There are people out here who are, you know, fiscally conservative and sure, maybe liberal in many other ways.
Right.
But so I actually think there's a lot more conservative in California than, but they don't get the voice. And I do think the systems are rigged. I mean, I've tried to recall that Gavin Newsom twice.
You're like hammering him hard. You're not afraid of that. He needs to go.
The hypocrisy. It's, you know, I wanted to like him. I'll tell you the truth. When COVID first hit and I remember him on my television, I thought, well, this man looks, he seems presidential. And then
he looks the part. He's a nice looking man. He speaks mm-hmm. well, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's maybe what you want in a politician, but I'm telling you, he's just hot air.
No, it's awful. I've never seen California in the shape that it's in. I've lived here since middle of 93, just before the Northridge earthquake, and I have never been afraid, but I am now. I don't go out at night unless I have a show. I don't do things that I would normally do. I'm always looking over my shoulder there. It's not just homeless folks. I mean, and there for the grace of God, go I literally, and I know that. So, but it's the mentally ill people that are walking around, and I am not exaggerating, machetes.
It's different. I was going to say, it's not just, you know, the few creeping around on Sunset that are just dirty and stinky and piss and crap on themselves. Now it's dangerous people looking to do harm.
And they're everywhere. Everywhere. I don't understand what am I paying taxes for? I really don't understand it. And I'm a team player, but what am I paying taxes for? I tell you what, this is the first year where I'm going to do what I got to do, but I'm like,
deserve it.
No, they don't. You're
coming across the border, giving them $2,500 checks. But if you can make it to Manhattan or New York, you get 10 grand.
Where's my $2,500 check?
Right.
What you're giving them health care? Do you have any idea? I mean, it's not, look, like you said, my grandfather came over, but there's a protocol. There's order. You wouldn't leave your windows wide open and your bank accounts and your banking information and everything just laying on your table for anybody to come by and do whatever. You don't do that, but you're going to leave our border just open. It doesn't make sense unless you're trying to destroy something.
So what do you think is going to be going on with like Disney and stuff? Now this DEI, they're finally learning their lesson. Disney's had crash after crash after crash. Bob Iger's taken responsibility for it, I guess. Do you think Hollywood's learning its lesson?
You know, that's a tough thing to say because I want to say yes, but I think people just figure out other ways. I don't know. I'm an optimist, but with everything that I've seen, I don't trust it. I really don't know. I know there are, I will say this, I know there are some amazing people in Hollywood.
Yes.
And when you find them, you stick together because the rest is the rest.
Do you think we could go back to the, and I'll just use a word to do it, a Clint Eastwood, an older type of days when we could make good movies with family values? Do you think Hollywood can learn the lesson and just go back to Americana, or are there too many deep state nation destroyers, Soros, Chinese money in the game now?
Well, there is that, and it depends because I love good old fashioned storytelling. You know, now it is. I said the other night, I'm like, I have had Ted Lasso on a loop because no one gets shot, decapitated, you know, it's not a trauma inducing show. And there are so many trauma inducing, it's no wonder our society has become so violent
and so anxietal, and so everything is fear based. Everything is it's murderous rage and fear based, and it's like, gone are the stories.
Well, you were there in your time, so you would have been there when the Rodney King riots broke out,
right?
And so I was here when.
Yeah,
the
OJ trial. All that.
I came in when the Rodney King verdict came down, with them not indicting Furman and stuff. I was out in Santa Monica at the beach. I was speaking at a television conference. So I'm coming across, you know, Sunset, coming in, taking, you know, kind of the way Wilshire Inn and stuff. And I used to live right up above the Whiskey A Go-Go on Kinglet, right? Right up there. And as soon as I got up to the top of the house, I got in, turned on the TV, just enough time to see that the kids hit, drag out the trucker, Reginald Dennehy, and throw the brick in his head, right, in the street, and then start jumping on him. And then in a blink of an eye, I look outside, and it's as fire as far as you can go. And I tell this because I'm driving down Sunset trying to find food, and eventually one little Korean shop up on the hills open, and I get two little coconut hoo-hoos and a yo-ho or hoo-hoos and chocolate milk, and that was
yoo-hoos
just
and ho-hos.
That's right. It was a different kind of ho-ho for me on Sunset at that time, but I did find the pink ho-hos. But all of a sudden, you know, that was the anomaly. Now it's the freaking norm. You've seen these kids see something happening. They whip out their phones. They film each other, and they're trying to do head stomps on each other to see who can smash the other person's head.
I mean, that summer of love, that they set this city on fire. There were on Melrose, it was destroyed. There were cop cars on fire. They were looting store. It was insanity, and they were calling that the summer of love?
Right.
I'm sorry. But if you're going to call what happened on January 6th an insurrection, then you need to call that terrorism, what happened in the summer of love.
You better believe it. It's all framing, trying to tell a story. Let me ask you a question. And I know your kids are chow-chows, but...
The children. Yeah. Well, you know, I
know you
now.
Lost one during COVID. How'd you lose your guy during COVID? What happened?
Well, the freakiest thing, he had a hot spot that just came on out of nowhere. And everything to that moment was fine. He had a hot spot, and he started kind of gnawing on this hot spot. We'll come to find out he had some sort of bacteria in his mouth, and he had a flesh-eating bacteria.
Oh, geez. Folks, this guy was a lion. It wasn't a chow chow. Oh, they're lying when they say it was a chow chow. He was a lion. His head was as big as your front seat.
I've never seen a dog like this. His paws were massive. His head was massive. I mean, he was massive. I've got a husband that's nearly 6'4", and he made my husband look small.
Right.
And it was COVID, so we weren't allowed to go in with him. So we had to take him, and they were going to have to, you know, remove all of his, it was a bad situation, and we had to let him go. And it was, he was just about to turn 8, and it was devastating. Yeah. He did. It was
Come on. He's the chow chow that ran around LA in the front seat. What do you expect?
And you know, he was actually on the James Corden show. James Corden, when he first started, did some bit. And, you know, where he would take over these jobs for a day. And one of them was a groomer at Chateau Marmot, which is where Zuma was. And they did a whole spoof on it. And Zuma was on, he had a little spot.
That's very good. But now we have a different type of groomer, which I want to ask you a question about. Because, look, we've talked about, okay, great. You shaked your booty and your great body out there, did what you had to do. But now it seems to be, it's not had to do, it's the thing to do. And you got parents putting their cute little daughters on Instagram, doing their gymnastics, their ballet, shaking their ass, and it's pedophiles watching them. I even did a show on pedophiles, and they're saying that's how they catch a lot of these men, because they can go to those accounts and find them. Now, this isn't about, you know, being churchy or anything like that, but what do you think about this culture where we're putting our precious children out there to be leered at?
Yeah, you know, I thank God every day that the internet wasn't around when I was during that time, because, you know, at that time it's put it all on camera.
That's right.
my vagina and my tits would be all over the internet.
Yes.
And I would be so horrified at this juncture of my life, right? I mean, look, you know, I'm not I'm not proud of what I did, and I'm not proud because I didn't do anything that I couldn't live with. And
right.
But it is, well, we're sexualizing children, period. We are sexual. Everything is a sales pitch. Everything is to sell you. And this pedophilia, it's, you hear the most horrific stories. I don't think parents have any, I mean, it's too overwhelming for some people. If they really stop to think about what they're setting into motion, they wouldn't.
That's true. I don't think they're thinking about one odd one, and then we'll wrap up.
They're not thinking.
No, they're not thinking at all. They're thinking about my kid's going to get a contract, or going to be famous, or going to be the next Justin Bieber because they found them on YouTube.
Are they willing to have that child be raped,
or
trafficked, or for a buck? Because
that's right. That's right. It's a different type of what they call them. What they call the moms with the kids, the backstage mom or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see. There's that. Yeah, you're right. It was, oh, shit. But
there's a word for it. The moms that put their kids out there and they're just a whatever yeah, mom.
You're right. It's like a stage mom. But, you know, that beauty pageant mom, the stage mom, the momager, the Kardashians.
I got something for you because I just read it the other day. I'm shocked. Maybe you follow it. Maybe you don't. But I want you to give me an L.A. angle. So, you know, the Menendez brothers that went to jail for shotgunning their dad, right? So, yeah. Folks, I don't know if you know this. So, Kyle and Lyle Menendez.
It's back.
Shot. Yes, it's going to be renewed.
Yeah.
Shot their dad, tried to blame it on someone else, and then they found out and they admitted they did it. But they said their dad was raping them. A female attorney, prosecutor in the case, said, you can't be a guy and be raped. You don't have the equipment to be raped. Last week, their family cleaning out some old storage locker came across letters that Kyle had been writing his cousin, telling him what his dad was doing and saying, I'm afraid to find out. He threatens to kill me. It's going to bust wide open. And one of the kids from Menudo, the kid's band that the dad was managing, was raping him. It's all coming out. They were telling the truth to begin with.
Yes. And, you know, yeah, I wish they had called and said, we just killed our parents because,
yes,
you know, it would have been different, I think, because if that was happening, which it sure seems like that, then, I mean, I think they've served their time, right? They've been in there 33 years or
it's been 30 some odd years. Right.
I mean,
I hope they do what's right. And prosecutors don't want the blemish. I can't have the blemish on my record to have it over. They got to do what's right for the
blemish.
These guys.
People are breaking the law every second of the day, all damn day long.
That's right.
There are they've done their time. They've done their time. And, you know, I mean, look, if as long as everything checks, they
right. As long as it checks out,
there are many crimes to go process. I mean,
right. But here and now we are. You can see it on Rodeo Sunset. They'll just go in, take what they want, walk out, and you can't do anything.
Yeah. I can't even, my CVS, everything's locked up.
Yeah.
You know?
So in closing.
Yes.
Most important lesson you've learned being out, besides coming back to Earth, one, what's your recommendation for people that you think we can help maybe reground this again? And do you believe that maybe La La Land is waking up, and is it going to be okay for people to start speaking their mind a little bit? It'll never be full, but do you think there's a part of America that's going to make a comeback?
Well, I'm going to say yes, because I want America to make a comeback. However, there seem to always be a bunch of idiots, right? Like they're out there, but I do hope and pray that we have some sort of revolution. I think, wait, why are you getting to have your voice, but I'm not getting to have mine?
Right.
Why are your values and what you think, why does that matter more than that's got to stop. That's got to stop. We really, this idea that we can't say, aren't we in America?
That's right. Can't just have our beliefs. So what's coming up for you in your career, and where are you headed with your comedy now?
Well, you know, lots of...
See, here's what I just realized. You went from shaking TNA, and now you're shaking bellies, meaning you're making people laugh.
That's right. Yeah, we'll have to do this again, because I feel like I could talk to you all day. I just shot a film, an indie film, flew to Seattle, and then took a ferry over to Vashon Island. I'd never been to Vashon Island, which apparently is a bunch of old liberal hippies on the island. So, and shot an indie film where I played a neurotic and controlling mother, and I'm going to kill demons. So, it's a movie called Theater is Dead. And, I'm finally at the place in my life where I'm getting to play moms. And I know that sounds, but that's what I really do want to do. I have a very colorful mother, so I would love to show versions of that.
I thought that was interesting. And that one ponytailed fellow, I forget the show, where you're like really weird and close to your son. Mm-hmm.
Tacoma FD, and the kid that played my son, well, he was taller. He's much taller than I am. That's Bill Paxton's son. Do you remember?
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
You remember Bill Paxton?
Yes, I do. What a shame. What a shame that he had a fear of that, right, of having to have heart surgery and he would die. And then he went in and actually died exactly what he feared his whole life. Really wild.
I met the man.
Right.
And, I forgotten that he'd passed because he seems so present,
Full of life.
So, they had apparently hired him, and they were looking for someone to play his mom. And I went in and auditioned, and I got it. And I had the best time playing.
I thought that was really good. Y'all looked really good together. He played it off well.
Yeah.
It was really funny and creepy at the same time. So you pulled it off. I mean, it was.
Yeah, I was a mother who loved her son just a little too much.
Had a really creepy relationship. But I thought that was great. Tammy, I really, really appreciate you joining me. We'll have to do it again and talk.
Yes.
Are you going to be releasing some comedy stuff?
Yes, I am working on that. I'm going to be doing more shows. I've got a show here in LA on Sunday night. And, you know, I'm over at the Comedy Store a lot. But the reason I've kept my comedy so precious, I'm old school, so I don't tape myself. I'm not like typically a big self promoter, but it's obviously it's very important in our business. So, I've got to get better at that, but I was keeping it really under wraps because I wanted to do a taping, and I was just scheduled to shoot that right before COVID. And I haven't gotten back on that horse, but I'm getting back on.
You're a survivor and a doer.
Yes. It's, you know, and there's not, it's, and here's the other thing is that, you know, everybody tries to, look, I came out here I'm dead in Hollywood, you know, age range. Like, you know, if you're over 15, you're pretty much done, you know?
True.
So, it's not a race, and it's a long game. So, you know, but I'm on it. I'm on it. And I will be putting out more comedy. Definitely. Beautiful. Oh, thank God for that comedy. You know, I've always been told I was a comedian, but I was like, no. And I sort of avoided it. But after the second writer's strike that I had to endure, I was like, that's enough.
Probably realize looking back, it was the way you dealt with a lot of the pain and embarrassing situations, was getting really good at that comedic stuff. So you didn't have to say, fucking get the hell out of here. You just did it with comedy and you did it that way.
Yes. Exactly. It saved my life. It's true.
I can imagine. Anyway, I appreciate you, dear. Love you, dear. Thank you for being here. We'll have to do this again.
We will. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. So, folks, there you go. Look, you need to consider, give Tammy a follow out there, folks, because you need to be able to connect with people that are really grounded. Here's somebody out there in the belly of the beast. Interesting stories, interesting woman, interesting career, but just like a lot of you from that very, very small town, living a very, very big life. Folks, share this program. And remember, there is always room for dialogue. We can have our differences and still get together. We need to be fostering all of us talking to each other, not being so damn judgmental, because we got to open these lines of communications, because the system has divided us. And if we stay divided, folks, we're going down. I love you all. Take care. Bye-bye.
Most people are afraid to stand up and speak out, but not you. You've been learning how to tell the system to cut the crap. What can I do to help save the America I love? And the answer is, learn how to fight back and tell the system to cut the crap. Cut the Crap's not just a radio program, it's a movement. The right kind of movement, which breaks free the conservative constipation and reminds you that you are the majority, and we're just not going to take it anymore. Make sure you're following Joe Von Hunt and Pulitzer on all social media. See you next week, and between now and then, take a stand and tell them all to cut the crap.
You'll go down in history as as our world.